This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, all this week, a sensitive subject on Cross Hope. We deal with the three chapters in Proverbs that deal with the subject of adultery. I don't know if you knew this or not, that 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters of Proverbs, basically are just about that subject, even though they include other things. We're going to study them this week as a part of our series on street credibility. God bless you as you listen to this message, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. One word out of that I want you to remember today, the word covenant. The marriage is not a contract, it's a covenant. There's a whole different atmosphere around the word covenant. Contract has to do with what are you going to do, what am I going to do? What are you going to give me, what am I going to give you? A covenant is an agreement before God and a commitment before God, and God is the witness of the covenant. And if you're married, you are in a covenant relationship, not a contractual agreement. You are in a covenant relationship. There's a phenomena in our country today from a crime standpoint that I don't ever remember hearing about growing up, but it's in recent years. It's called home invasion. Statistically, there are 8,000 home invasions per day in North America. 8,000 homes are violently invaded each day in North America. One out of every five homes will experience a break-in or a home invasion. Not just a home invasion, but a break-in or home invasion. That's over 2 million homes. You say, why are you talking about home invasions? Is this a thing about safety in your home? No, it's about something far greater than that. There's something far more insidious to the term home invasion to what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the home invasion of what I call sexual impurity. How that invades a home and does destructive things that can be worse than any fire, can be worse than any home invasion, because of the ripple effect, not only on the immediate moment, but on future generations. We're going to look at three chapters today. I'm not going to read them to you. I'm only going to read a short passage, but I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and I really mean this. This is not just something, yeah, he asked us to do it, but we're not going to do it. I want you to go home today and read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. They're all dealing with the same subject called adultery. And if the Bible has three chapters in a row about one subject, and that's the only place in the Bible that does that, I think that it's something we can't ignore. Can you imagine if I said, I'm going to preach through the book of Proverbs, but I'm going to ignore three chapters in a row because it might make people feel uncomfortable. People might feel a little uneasy if I preach those chapters. What you would say about it, if you had heard this terminology before, it would be a case of me not preaching the whole counsel of God, saying I'm going to neglect or ignore three chapters. What I want to do this morning is give you an overview of the three chapters by Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who gives you a three-point outline of three chapters. You take this home with you, and then you read the three chapters. But here's what Dr. Wiersbe says. Chapter 5 deals with this. Sexual sin is eventually disappointing. Chapter 5. Chapter 6, sexual sin is gradually destructive. Write that down. Sexual sin is gradually destructive, chapter 6, and sexual sin is ultimately deadly. That's going to be the backdrop of this whole message. This is going to be the framework, and that's going to stay up on the screen, those three points. And I mean it when I say, will you go home today and sometime this afternoon, sometime tonight, not tomorrow, not Wednesday, not Friday, but today, Lord willing, that you will read 5, 6, and 7 of Proverbs. Well, I know this is a sensitive subject, but it's one that's important, especially today in 2014. I'd like for you to listen to it tomorrow as it continues. Our website is crosshope.org. It's one word, crosshope.org. Let's read chapter 6, verse 23 through the end of the chapter. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. Underline that in your Bible. If you do, I'll tell you why later. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. I got to stop right here. This is geared to a male culture. You can put either gender in there. Instead of saying the immoral woman, talk about the immoral man and the wayward husband. Verse 25, do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the immoral woman, or here it's called prostitute, reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay seven times or sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. I've never met any man or woman who has gone to the Dayton Airport or the Cincinnati Airport or any airport for that matter and said, give me a ticket to anywhere. I don't care where it is, just give me a ticket. I've never met anyone who went to an Amtrak station in Cincinnati and said, I want a train ticket and I don't care where it is, I don't care how much it costs, just give me a ticket to some place on the train line, on the train track. I've never met anyone who's gone to Greyhound bus station and said, don't care where the bus is going, give me the first ticket out of here, anywhere. Now, maybe you felt that in frustration sometimes on your job or even in your home, but no one's ever done that. No one has ever done that in real life. And yet here's the irony. People do that, figuratively speaking, all the time, morally, ethically, personally in terms of their family, where they do things and they make choices and they go in directions and they have no idea where this train's going to go that I've started in motion. They have no idea where this plane is going to go in terms of what they've started in motion, a series of events. And yet nine times the book of Proverbs, nine times says, when you do something, you make a choice, you decide something, see where it's going. Look for the destination. And today I'm just asking you to look at the destination of choices we make in life that have to do with this realm called marital fidelity. Marital fidelity. Let's bring up verse 26 again, if we could. For the immoral woman or prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. We don't use terminology like that in our culture today. But can I tell you what we do say? I really messed up my life. He really trashed his life. He's trashed his job situation. He's trashed his career. She's done something that's dramatically impacted her job or her home in a negative way. We understand that terminology, and that's what verse 26 means. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, your life is reduced to nothing, to rubble, is basically what that means, figuratively speaking.
Well, this message on Cross Hope will continue tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
We don't use terminology like that in our culture today. But can I tell you what we do say? I really messed up my life. He really trashed his life. He's trashed his job situation. He's trashed his career. She's done something that's dramatically impacted her job or her home in a negative way. We understand that terminology, and that's what verse 26 means. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, your life is reduced to nothing, to rubble, is basically what that means, figuratively speaking. We understand that. We don't use the phraseology in 27 and 28 that says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? I'm going to say a proverb, and I want you to finish it. I do want you to say it out loud, because here's the terminology we use. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. We understand that terminology, and that's what those two verses are about. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And the key verse is actually verse 32. And it could be a man or a woman. A man or woman who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Look at the next verse, 33. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. The ultimate biblical example of that, of the shame that comes to anything like that, is King David in the Old Testament. David is described this way. He was a man after God's own heart. Do you know what that means? That's probably one of the greatest compliments that's ever been paid to anybody in the human race. God said, David is a man after my own heart. He's God's kind of person. And yet, what do we know David for? What do we remember about David? Is not that he only wrote the Psalms and was a great leader in combat and battle, but he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Everybody knows that story. Most people do. That he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. You know what he did? He gave the orders for Uriah to be brought up to the front of the battle, and then he told the men who took him up there, then you pull back. You leave him up there at the front all by himself. Well, he was dead in seconds because he literally was all alone. He had him killed, and he fathered a child, lost a child with Bathsheba. You know the story. Stormy O'Mardian is a great author. She's written a number of books. She sold over 7 million books. She wrote a book called The Prayer That Changes Everything, and she talks about David. I want to quote what she says. King David was the great worshiper of the Bible. He was a good man, a man after God's own heart. But one night he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be out in the battlefield with his army, but instead he was up on the roof of his house watching the woman next door take a bath. The married lady next door, I might add, she says. If instead of feasting his eyes on that woman, he had turned his eyes away, admitted his temptation to God immediately, gone right into the privacy of his own room, fallen on his face before God, then things may have been different. But David didn't do that. He kept on looking. He kept on thinking. He kept on lusting until his flesh had to act on it. He commanded that the woman, Bathsheba, be brought to his room. And while her husband was out fighting the battle that David should have been fighting, he had sex with her. When Bathsheba soon after discovered she was pregnant, David tried to cover up the adultery by arranging to have her husband killed in battle, which he did.
Well, if you or I had been an editor of the Bible years ago, we might have edited that story out of the scripture for embarrassment reasons. The Lord didn't. He tells us that story for a reason. We'll continue tomorrow, and I want you to hear every bit of this message from Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 on adultery. Our website is crosshope.org. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we concluded with an illustration about David, King David in the Bible, as told by Stormy O'Mardian in one of her books, where she talks about the sin of David with Bathsheba and the sin of murder that he committed when he had her husband killed. We pick it up with those final remarks about that story and go on to the next illustration. On the message about adultery from Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, part of the series we call Street Credibility. God bless you as you listen to part 4. If instead of feasting his eyes on that woman, he had turned his eyes away, admitted his temptation to God immediately, gone right into the privacy of his own room, fallen on his face before God, then things may have been different. But David didn't do that. He kept on looking. He kept on thinking. He kept on lusting until his flesh had to act on it. He commanded that the woman, Bathsheba, be brought to his room. And while her husband was out fighting the battle that David should have been fighting, he had sex with her. When Bathsheba soon after discovered she was pregnant, David tried to cover up the adultery by arranging to have her husband killed in battle, which he did. This all began as one sinful thought. No one ends up in adultery without thinking about it first. Would you listen to that again? No one ends up in adultery without thinking about it first. It all starts with a thought. There was a controversial book that someone gave me in the 90s, written by a counselor about this subject of affairs. It was actually a very successful businessman. This book was given to him by his counselor. He said, I want you to read it. I want you to tell me what you think of it. And there was a lot of it I didn't agree with it, but there was one part of it that was dead on, because I'd never heard anybody say this before.
This counselor said to people who were considering having an affair, he said, I want you to fantasize about something. And everybody knows when you say the word fantasy or fantasize, or conjure up all kinds of images, it's not what you think. He said, I want you to fantasize looking at your children when they get the news about dad or mom. I want you to fantasize about looking in their faces and seeing the look on your daughter's face and seeing the look on your son's face when they get the news. Fantasize about that for a few minutes. Fantasize about your extended family finding out. Fantasize about the people at work finding out. Fantasize about your neighbors on either side of the house finding out what's happened in your household. And then he made his point that when you start fantasizing about those things that do happen, it might impact our behavior now. And I think there is a great lesson in that, to think it through. That's what Proverbs says 9 times. Think about where the destination takes you. I would be remiss if, in wrapping this up in a few minutes here, not to tell you that there is forgiveness and there is hope. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he, meaning Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It covers this. I want to tell you 2 things in closing, and then we're going to see a 1-minute video to wrap it up. We're all adopted. Did you know that? Every man, every woman, every young person is a Christian. You've been adopted into the family of God. You have, and so have I. We have a spirit of adoption, and we're adopted so that we can say Abba, which is the Hebrew word for dad. We can say Abba, Father. Why? Because we're adopted into the family of God through what Christ did on the cross.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll not only play the rest of the message, but there's a part of the message that is a video clip that was shown about a man kneeling before a cross praying for his wife. I want you to hear that video clip. We'll play it tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
I purposely left the first verse alone. I want to bring it up again, verse 23. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. I want to talk about this in a profound way. Stephen Brown is on the radio every day, I think before our program, an hour or two before we come on. Some of you have heard him from Key Biscayne, Florida. It's called Key Life Program. He's the guy with the super deep voice. I sound like Pee Wee Herman compared to him. I've tried to talk like he talks, and it's 2 or 3 octaves below my voice, and I think I have a low voice, but it's nothing compared to Steve Brown's. He said he was asked recently, what's the hardest part about being in the ministry? You know what I thought he would say? What I would think, well, having the funeral of someone who's been murdered, which I've done, it's terrible, it's awful. Having the funeral of someone's committed suicide, I've done several of those. Have a funeral of somebody who's been tragically taken in an accident, I've had many of those, I've lost count. He didn't say that was the hardest thing about being in the ministry. Here's what he said. The most difficult thing about being in the ministry is seeing people slip back into the darkness. Wow, what a statement. The most difficult thing about being in the ministry is watching people who've come to Christ and watch them slip back into the darkness. I know what he meant. Colossians says we're called out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. It is about light and darkness. That's why the proverb writer says, these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. Meaning what? When you have the light, you can see the truth about yourself. The Word of God is a lamp and a light to my path. The Spirit of God is light. Coming into, as a Christian, means coming out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the only way you do that, here's how it happens. You do what you're going to see a man do. You kneel at the cross and give it all to him. Watch 60-second video.
Jesus, you did not give up on me, so I am not giving up on her. But I need you. Would you save my wife, Lord? If you need to take me out of the way to do it, then do it. I'm giving you everything.
What's the answer to the problem we discussed today? You come to the cross. I don't have anything else to tell people. It's all about coming to the cross. Whether, regardless of what our problems are, we kneel at the cross, figuratively or literally, and say, Lord, I take everything about my past, everything I know about me, and I trust it to everything I know about you and what you did on the cross for me. It's what it's all about. If you need the Lord in your life, that's why we're here. You need to respond to his love, to his message, to his forgiveness. That's why we're here. We're not here to play church. And I really mean that when I say that. That's not just a phrase or a slogan. We're not here to play church. We're here to do the most important business in the world, to give people an opportunity to come to the light. You've been called out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. Let's pray together.
Well, to be honest with you, it would have been a lot easier to neglect this passage of scripture in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, just to skip it and say it's too delicate, it's too sensitive for people. And yet, if you've listened this week at all, you know that it's something that needs to be shared, because it's not from me, but it's from God's Word. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 speak on marital fidelity, and I hope that it spoke to you this week. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.